Welcome to Mamahood After Trauma, where healing and mamahood intersect. I'm Emily, your host. Join us as we discover practical strategies to nurture ourselves with kindness and understanding. Stay tuned for insights and inspiration to support you on your path of healing and growth. Let's dive in together. This is Mamahood After Trauma. Hello, hello, my friends, and welcome to this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I am so excited that you've taken some time out of your day to tune in and listen to this conversation. Today, we are joined by Amy. Welcome.
Hi, so happy to be here. Thank you so much.
No problem. I'm excited to have this conversation. This is a topic that they tend to get a lot of negative energy around.
Sure.
I know my experience with step parents was not a good one. So I'm excited to hear what your work entails. And so I'm going to give you some time first off to share with everyone what your work is, and we'll go from there.
No, absolutely. So I want to, before I jump into me, I want to double check that I understand what you just hit on, which is that you grew up with step-parents in your life.
Yes, I did.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So being a step-parent, right? So I am a step-parent. I've been a step-parent for over 25 years. I pause as I calculate that number, because as I tell this story, that number changes. Mm-hmm. And when I started my work with step-parents, that number was 20. And so every once in a while, I have to do the mental math in my head, like, what's that number today? It wasn't part of my journey in finding happiness was digging into myself, mm-hmm. and taking ownership of my participation in the story, which includes what about my past made mm-hmm. a relationship with somebody who already had kids the choice that I was going to make. And that might sound like a funny question, but what I do today is I'm a mentor and a life coach for step parents. I also work with a lot of parents who are in the process of co-parenting. So those would be divorced mm-hmm. parents who are doing that, because they do overlap. The skill set overlaps. And so that's what I do. I never realized I would do that. I never 25 years ago, I did not know that this is what I was going to do. And a big piece of my work has directly sort of aligned with my personal discovery of stress, mm-hmm. And in many forms, trauma. So I'm 50 years old, which is an interesting thing, because I came of age with the ACE survey from mm-hmm. Kidder Peabody, which is the mm-hmm. adverse childhood events. I grew up with the information from people who meant well that my parents' divorce was a traumatic event in my life, and therefore my future was totally screwed. And that was something that put a lot of pressure on me. My current experience with that, with a much more updated understanding of my origin story and my concept of stress responses and trauma, is that while the divorce was absolutely a stress in my own personal story, the divorce was the beginning of creating a secure space for me. Mm-hmm. Because this is not always true. But for me, it was the stuff that preceded the divorce, the instability in my very, very young family, that created a long legacy for me in mm-hmm. how I responded to events, how I saw the world, how I had a deep desire to create security for myself that was not the same as some other people. Mm-hmm. And then also the decisions I made when I chose a life partner, how I interacted with my stepkids. And then the ultimate funhouse mirror experience is when you have your own people, you create your own little human beings, mm-hmm. and they reflect back to you everything you've ever been scared of and you've been ignoring. Mm-hmm. And so, right. And I think that's the crux of the work that you do with with mamas, because it is a really, really bizarre experience to think that you've cut the boundary, you've cut the cords, you've done the work, and then, you know, a 25-pound person that looks like you, you know, says something or does something or sings a song or whatever, and you're right back where you started. And so those things are so I do a lot of in the coaching space, right? We call it origin sort of work. Like, what are the narrative stories that we have? And that's what I do. Help people understand why they made their decisions, help people be intentional about the lives they want to create. Help them accept the real life situation in society that step parenting and blended families do have a social stigma even today in 2024, which is weird because there are so many people doing the work, like in that situation, right? Like it's like truly a disconnect. It's like, if so many people are doing this, why do we still have that sensation? And, you know, and some of it is absolutely people who grew up with tough relationships with step parents. Other people knew people who had tough relationships with step parents. There's a million ways that story can start. And then the second sad part about that story is there aren't a ton of resources yet to help people break that cycle. And that's really sort of the crux of why I feel compelled to keep talking about it, because I hope that your children and my children and their children don't have the same challenge finding support. It took me a long time to realize this, but in my own story, 25 years, when I look in the rearview mirror, I realized that at the start of this, I had a choice. I didn't know it then, right? Like, these are the choices you can't see until they're in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
But there was a choice there, which was be a part of creating a new, healthy, fun, loving family, or contribute to things that were instable, unstable, unhealthy, you know, all of those things. That's like a super complex, it's like a one-liner that encompasses a very complex situation. So it's like a really, really oversimplification. One of the important parts about it, though, is I didn't know that I was making that decision, but it puts in my mind a lot of importance on creating and providing resources for adults who are in this space, like of familying, which is not a real word, but creating the family, whether they're aunts, uncles, moms, dads, stepmoms, stepdads, foster parents, adoptive parents, doing the best we can to give them resources to be able to make a good decision there, if that makes sense.
We interrupt this amazing conversation for a word from our sponsor. Are you tired of feeling like you're on an emotional roller coaster in mamahood, ready to break free from the fear and frustration that's holding you back? Introducing Mama Untriggered, private podcast series, a transformative 5-episode journey to help you calm your nervous system and reclaim your strength in mamahood. In each episode, we'll guide you through practical, actionable steps to understand your triggers, build your trigger toolbox, and harness the power of community for support. Say goodbye to those moments of overwhelm and hello to more peaceful, empowered you. You didn't become a mama to spend your day on edge. It's time to take control of your emotional well-being and create a positive, joyful experience for you and your littles. Ready to break free from the emotional roller coaster? Subscribe now to the Mama Untriggered private podcast series and start your journey to a calmer happier mamahood today.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it is, it's an area that is really quite tricky to navigate, especially if there's been trauma from a nasty divorce and
right.
mom and dad were fighting. And now there's right. new people in the picture. So what tips do you have for someone navigating that tricky situation?
So people, there's one, I'm going to draw an invisible line because there's two times where people can find themselves asking this question. And the options you have are different depending mm-hmm. on where you are in the timeline. So if it is before you have made a commitment to the family, so like you are a girlfriend or a boyfriend who still has their own separate living situation
mm-hmm.
and you have not created more people, like, so you haven't had any children with the other parent, the choices are different than if you are already cohabitating, married, and have children, right? So those are the two places that people come to yeah. me. They come to me before they've done it. They're trying to plan ahead mm-hmm. and prepare, which is like a really smart thing to do. It doesn't, I thought I did that. And I can honestly say that while it did help in some ways, you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly.
And so you can't prepare for all the things. And the second thing, then the other situation where you've already joined, the options mm-hmm. feel a little different, right? Because one of the, so anyway, so what are the tips? The tips are to be very pragmatic and factual about the situation that you're in, right? It is, if you are engaging in a relationship with somebody who has a prior relationship that resulted in a small human, that is the situation. And one of the biggest challenges is if you accidentally proceed in that relationship without fully accepting and processing that reality, it can cause a lot of struggle, a lot of struggle, right? Because before you go through this, a lot of people have the idea that divorce is a severing of everything in that original relationship. But in most cases, the union between biological parents, the people who make the children, lasts in some way for the entire life of that kid.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like I've been married for over 20, this next month will be my, I think I should be ready for 23rd anniversary. and my stepkids are adults. They are independent mm-hmm. living adults. I still have regular contact through my husband with their mom, right? This is, mm-hmm. it doesn't. And so if I had sort of had this idea that it was going to end, or she wasn't going to be a factor, or the stepkids were going to magically disappear, that's like dissonance and unhappiness. And I talk to people about mm-hmm. that every day, right? That's a big thing. So as much as you can do about that internally, that is an internal individual discussion with yourself, right? Like, is this yeah. something I want to do? What do I feel about this? Am I okay with my spot in the relationship? The second thing that gets skipped is, and this is super interesting, right? Because it comes back to we were talking about the stigma and the origin story. The second thing that gets skipped, and it actually gets skipped in first marriages too, and can cause big problems in first marriages, is sitting down with the people in your life and defining the roles and responsibilities for the people who are in this family, right? What does it mean to be I'm going to gender this, like, it's not a gendered thing, but I'm going to gender it for simplification of the story, right? So like, what does it mean to be the dad in this family? What does it mean to be the stepmom in this family? What are the responsibilities? What are the roles? What are the values? What does it mean to be the third wife? What does it mean to be what do we agree on the relationship between the mother-in-law and the father-in-law and the aunts and the uncles? And to really identify all of those, talk about the names, the words, the roles, the responsibilities, that very few people sit down and do that. You know, and the time that we do that, this is like the craziest thing. You know, when we do that, divorce. If you go in and say, hey, we need to split this relationship up, it's the mediator or the attorney who's like, all right, so now we're going to define this. These are your roles. This is your responsibility. And it's so weird because if you can do that at the beginning, everything is much clearer.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is much clearer. And it's really kind of an amazing thing.
Yeah, it would resolve a lot of arguments.
That's right. That's right. I mean, it's sort of because in the process, sometimes those conversations are heavily emotional and they feel uncomfortable, right? But it is the work of uncovering, like, are we aligned on this? Like, so, you know, if you have a deep, deep desire to be treated as a mother, but you are a stepmom, it causes all kinds of problems, right?
Yeah.
So it causes all kinds of problems. And it comes up with people saying they're disrespectful. I'm not allowed to set the rules, so on and so forth. In a lot of times, that is actually being caused by a disconnect and a misunderstanding among people. What is the role of this person in my life? Mm-hmm. And I just find it really interesting how quickly that conversation can uncover things. It's like, so, you know, why are you not allowed to talk about the food in the family? Like, what is behind that? Why would that be one person's job or another? And there's no actual right answer to that, right? It's just uncovering and deciding what you want in your house.
Yeah. So being clear on what the roles are within the family.
Yep.
Regardless of who does what, as long as you're clear on that, and being realistic with yourself, with understanding what the reality is, knowing that the child's mother or the child's father, however that goes, is
right.
Going to be a part of their life and your spouse's life for
right the duration ever. Of the life of that child, right? Which they usually outlive us, so it in most cases in a happy scenario, right, we don't want our kids to die before we do usually, and so in a good scenario they outlive us, and that if in practicality is forever. And that, you know, being pragmatic and open-minded, like in terms of, you know, is hard to do, right? It is very, very hard to do. So, but to allow other people to say what they think and see when it doesn't align with what you think. So I'll give you an example. It's pretty common in all kinds of families where people say, oh, put the kids first. Mm. Right. But if you ask somebody, and this comes from my own experience, there's a question behind that. Like, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Does that mean they get to choose what they're eating every meal of every day for the rest of their life? Does it mean they don't have chores? Mm-hmm. Does it mean we go into debt for their vacation so that they can have dream experiences? Or does it mean that, you know, we have a highly structured family, right? And mm-hmm. we think that the rules are what's good for the kids. So it's like having that conversation and taking it to the next level is good. And then knowing that it's going to change, mm-hmm. right? It's going to change. Like a lot of people, you know, like it really matters. It really matters. Like, so I don't know how old you were when your parents got divorced and your step parents entered your life, but joining it, my stepkids were 4 and 8 when I first met them. That's very different than if they had been 25 and 30. Mm. Or teenagers. In my experience, teenagers are not looking to have more adults in their life.
No. I was 6, I believe, when my dad married my stepmom, and it was not a good situation. And then whenever that relationship dissolved and he would have girlfriends, and by the time I was a teenager, I was like, I have a mom, I don't need another mom.
Exactly.
Nice to see you.
And that's okay, right?
Yeah.
Some of this is taking the pressure off, of, you know, you don't always, but that you don't always have to have that mom relationship. And yeah. that conversation gets easier when you are clear on what you think being a mom means.
Mm-hmm.
Separating the idea of mom from wife, which a lot of people struggle with,
mm-hmm.
right? Get clear on what your expectation or your dream was for your family, and what it is, right? Because a lot of the unhappiness grows in the space between, you know, hey, I thought it was going to be this, but it's actually mm-hmm. that. And so being clear on what's actually happening and what you thought was going to happen is where the process often begins. Because as long as you deny, if you're like, no, everything's great, you can't move forward. And it happens in like, this is like, I talk about it with families, but it happens all the time. I have a kid who's got a sinus infection and he feels like dirt, just totally feels terrible, which is why we ended up at the pediatrician's office. She walks into the office. She's like, how are you? He's like, I'm fine. I was like, oh my God, no, you're not. Like, we're here because you're not. Like, I'm here because you're not. Like, why did you say that? So, you know, that's the same kind of thing in real life.
Oh man. Yeah. How can our listeners connect with you further?
So my name is Amy and I call my company Amy Says So, and my website is amysaysso.com. And so that's where all of my resources are. I have some free stuff on the website. I have a podcast called The Amy Says So Show where you can learn more about my coaching philosophy and how I got there. I wrote a book called Blend, which is much more about me than anybody ever probably wants to know. But it's the story of my experience blending my family and the 10 lessons that I think I learned over 20 years.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me today, Amy. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to tune in to this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. If you would like more of the Mamahood After Trauma community, make sure to look in the description of this episode for the link to become a Mamahood After Trauma Inner Circle member. Until next time, Mama, keep